There are a couple of stories related to the chant we did just now, the Garudaniya Metta Sutta. It starts out, this is what should be done by one who aims at a state of peace. I happened to be sitting in on a course one time that was focused on translating the sutta. They took it apart line by line, compared different translations, and then the group came up with what they liked, their favorite translation of each line. With that first line, this is what should be done. Someone in the group raised his hand and said, wait a minute, I thought Buddhism didn't have any shoulds. They spent the whole morning discussing that point. It's not like the Buddha was a lawgiver and forcing people to do things. Everything in his teaching is voluntary. You take the altar here at the front of the room as a symbol. It doesn't have the clean aesthetic, say, of a Zen altar. It looks pretty cluttered. It's a group effort. Nobody designed it that it was going to be this way. People saw that there were empty spaces on the table and tables, and they brought things in. It's an entirely voluntary and entirely group effort. And we're all here voluntarily. Nobody forced us to come. Nobody threatened us with fire and brimstone. So in that way you might say that there are no shoulds, but notice the structure of that sentence. This is what should be done by someone who wants to aim at a state of peace. In other words, if you want peace, this is what you have to do. It's a simple statement of cause and effect. And you have to have respect for cause and effect. You can't just dream up your own way of practice, saying, I like this and I like that. The spiritual life is not a smorgasbord. Some things work, other things don't. And if you want to get results, you submit to what works. And you have to put your likes and dislikes aside. Someone once said, the great way is not hard for those with no preferences. Now you do have the preference of wanting to get results. But if you learn to put your likes and dislikes off to one side and see, okay, what does get results? And if you find the things that you don't like to do, but they give good results, you find some way to make yourself to like them, willing to do them. If things you like to do but don't give good results, you've got to be willing to put them aside. And again, use your wisdom to make yourself willing to put them aside. So that's the kind of should we have here in the practice. The second point was the line that says one should be easy to instruct. Now, if you've ever been a teacher, you realize there are two qualities you look for in a student who's easy to instruct. One is the student is respectful and obedient, and the second one is the student is smart and knows how to think independently. And those two sets of qualities very rarely go together. And yet they're essential for the practice. I look back on the students I've had who haven't worked out for one reason or another, and they tend to fall into two extremes. One is a student who wants to be told precisely what to do and not to think and not to have any responsibility. Just be told, do X, and then just do X without having to think about it. No questions asked. And the teacher is responsible for guaranteeing results. That doesn't work, because you have to learn how to check what you're doing and see what's working and see what's not working. You have to be responsible as well. The other extreme, of course, is a person who doesn't like to be told what to do at all. Wants to left to be totally free. And somewhere in between those two is the right attitude. And one of the tricks of learning how to practice well is to find the right balance. Years back when I was first staying with John Fuhr, being a typical American, I had a lot of problems dealing with the hierarchy and dealing with issues of respect. Again, swinging back and forth between the two extremes. Telling myself, well, okay, I'm in this hierarchy, I'll just do what I'm told and not think. Well, that didn't work. And John Fuhr would get after me for not using my head. And then when I did use my head, well, he got after me for not listening to what he had to say. And after a while, it became obvious to him that I was really having a problem finding the right balance. So he told me a story of his time with John Lee. There was one time toward the end of John Lee's life. He was building a new monastery on the outskirts of Bangkok, Wat Sokarnam. And the temple committee decided they wanted an ordination hall. That's typical in Thailand, ordination halls. They tend to be on an east-west axis, with the Buddha on the west side of the ordination hall facing east, like the one we have here. This may not be precisely east-west, but it's pretty close. And so when they laid the foundation for the ordination hall, what's typically done in Thailand is under the spot where the Buddha image is going to be there, make a concrete box and put all kinds of auspicious things in there. It's passages of the Dharma, little Buddha images, relics, and then seal it up, kind of like a cornerstone. And then as the building progressed and the time came to put the Buddha image in the hall, John Lee changed his mind. He wanted to have the Buddha image on the east side, facing west. And as John Fuhr once told me at another occasion, he said that was to symbolize the fact that Buddhism was going to go west. But anyway, when the hall was done, someone realized that the spot where they'd put that box full of auspicious things was not under the Buddha image anymore. In fact, it was under a spot where people were going to be stepping over it, which is a real taboo in Thailand. You don't step over sacred things. So they brought this to John Lee's attention. So he turned to John Fuhr and said, okay, tomorrow get all the monks in the monastery under the hall. It was kind of a crawl space. And move the box. And John Fuhr thought to himself, he said, there's no way we're going to be able to move that box. It's buried deep in the mud. But he also knew that if he'd said, well, there's no way to do that, John Fung said, well, if you don't have the conviction, I'll find someone else who does. So the next morning, John Fung got all the able-bodied monks and novices in the monastery down in the crawl space under the ordination hall with lots of rope, tied it around the box, tried all kinds of ways of moving the box. And after a full day's effort, they hadn't been able to make it budge an inch. So that's when John Fuhr went back to John Lee, and he said, how about if we make a new box under the where the Buddha image is now, open up the old box, remove all the sacred objects from the old box, and put them in the new box, and seal that one up. And John Lee nodded his head just a little bit to say, okay, fine. And so at the end of the story, John Fuhr turned to me and he said, and that's how you show respect for your teacher. That's how you're easy to instruct. You do what you're told, but if it doesn't work, you come back and you say, look, I tried it and it doesn't work. And then you can discuss it. And that way, responsibility for your practice becomes a two-way street. There's another spot where the Buddha says that the friendship with admirable people is the whole of the holy life. This practice is not anything you can do alone. As you saw today, the ordination. It wasn't just one person there making up his mind he wanted to be a monk. There was a whole community to support him. This is the way it is, not just in ordinations, but every aspect of the practice. For each of us to practice, we depend on other people in one way or another. And so learning to find the right balance between what you want to do and what other people suggest you should do. That's one of the big issues in the practice. And it's going to be awkward. But try to learn from experience what the proper balance is. Where every side is acting voluntarily and every side is taking responsibility. That's how we help one another along. So we have to respect one another's voluntary spirit. At the same time, we have to respect what we learn about cause and effect within our own practice. And learn how to develop the proper balance.